Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. We are on part 5 of a series called Life 101. We started this thing months ago, and we've just been tracking through it. We've just been working through these words that Jesus shared with us. And what we like to do is we like to take big ideas or big chunks of scripture and just kind of work through them and find out what does God have to say to us through these things that were written thousands of years ago. And so we've been doing that. The series is Life 101, subtitle, The Life That You Want to Live. Because all of us have a life that we want to live. You have a purpose to your life. You woke up this morning and you decided, I'm going to come out here. I'm going to invest this time. You have something you're going to do tomorrow. We all have a way to live. And so what we've been exploring for these weeks is we've considered, well, what does Jesus have to say about the way that we live our lives? If I'm going to create my own life, if I'm going to let culture shape it and experience shape it, why not let Jesus shape how I live my life? And so we've been asking that question for a few weeks. And today we're going to keep asking that question. We're working through the words that Matthew wrote. Matthew was a man who followed Jesus. He was told, come follow me. While he wasn't in the greatest of positions in society, he wasn't loved by the people around him. And yet Jesus said, I love you. You come follow me. And Matthew heard what Jesus had to say, and years later, he wrote it down for us. And so we're reading the words of an eyewitness to what Jesus said. It's pretty remarkable as we consider what Matthew heard Jesus say, and we read it. And even though it was 2,000 years ago, we're finding some really good application. And today, we're really going to dive into something that I believe all of us can learn from. Whether you're following Christ today or you're not, first time in church, first time in a long time, there's something we're going to discover together. So in preparation for today's message, I Googled some articles about anxiety. Okay, about what does it mean to be anxious? What does it mean to be stressed? What does it mean to be worried? And I Googled these things, and I came across an article that was written just 3 weeks ago, earlier in the month, that said millennials are the most anxious generation. Okay, now, I can say that because I'm a millennial, okay? So if you're born between 80 and 2000, it's kind of where you land. It said that millennials are the most anxious generation, and it was put on by the American Psychiatric Association, big words, the APA, and they did surveys to see, well, who's anxious in society? What group of people? And they concluded that anxiety has been moving up in certain generations, boomers and Gen X and all these generations, and they keep going up, and millennials are still among the most anxious of generations to walk the planet today. And the article went on to say that because there is so much stress in our lives, and because we have so much going on, and because we are so anxious, we should first be aware of that anxiety, and second, we should do something about it. So I don't think I need to spend too much time convincing you that you know what anxiety is. Okay, we can amen, we can wave a hanky at that. We all know what it feels like to be anxious. No matter your age, no matter your season of life, no matter if you're entering the career or you're leaving the career, we know anxiety. We know that feeling. So the article went on to say, well, now that you know it, you've got to do something about it. Like, what do you do to handle the anxiety? And some of the suggestions were things like, you should exercise regularly. You should eat healthy. You should have good community with people who love you and understand you, family or friends. You should take moments to relax and reflect and pause. And great practices, a lot of them that I do. And I bring this up because anxiety is not foreign to humanity. When I say anxiety, you didn't be like, what in the world are you talking about? I've never heard of that before. What are those feelings like? No, we all know. In fact, some of you are anxious because I'm talking about anxiety. You're starting to sweat a little, like, oh my goodness. Now I wasn't thinking about it. Now I'm thinking about it. It's just where we are in society. Anxiety is a normal feeling. We all know what it feels like. And some of us, we've been working through anxiety for years, for decades. For others, it's brand new because you're going through an experience or a situation that's bringing that out in you. But anxiety exists. And today, I want us to spend some time talking about this very real, hits at home concept, idea, feeling, whatever you call it. Because I believe that if we're going to consider anxiety, we're going to consider ways to handle anxiety, we should consider what Jesus has to say when it comes to feeling anxious. Just think right now. Take about 5 seconds. I'm sure it won't take more than that. What makes you anxious?
You've got that thing. I've got that thing. For some of us here, it's our finances. You're staring down bills that keep coming in and paychecks that don't seem to come in. It's like, why can't I reverse the order there? For you, it's a relationship. You're hoping and wishing that you'll get the phone call from a family member you haven't spoken to in a while. Maybe you're starting a family or trying to start a family or trying to keep a family together. What keeps you up at night? What prevents you from sleeping soundly? What prevents you from eating a meal and not feeling sick halfway through it? Come on, these are real things that we all know what this feels like. Student loans, can I get an amen? Right, come on, we all know what that feels like. We all know what it feels like, debt and businesses we're trying to start and businesses that are falling apart. I mean, this is where we are. And physical health and emotional health. And anxiety is really mental health. We're going to talk about that towards the end. But we all know what these things are. We all know what the situations are that create in us anxiety. What is anxiety? Worry, stress, feeling unsure. I work with the school district here, and I was talking to the president of Roanoke, president, the principal, and he was explaining to me that in elementary school, just how much anxiety exists in kindergartners and first graders. This is a real thing. And it's not to say it's wrong. It's just a thing. This is just where we are in 2018. The children and families are coming from anxious home environments and entering into school where there's anxiety about tests and performance and all of this. And I'm so thankful to be working with schools. They're saying, let's respond to what's going on. So today, let's respond to what we're feeling, anxiety. Could you imagine, dream with me for a minute. What would your day look like if when the situation came, because the situation's still coming, but when the situation came, when the mountain came, you didn't have to lean into anxiety. But you can lean into something else. Just imagine that. Imagine enjoying a meal without getting sick halfway through it. Imagine going to sleep and going to sleep. That's a new thing right there. Wow. Imagine talking to people and not feeling like you have to avoid the situation or you have to just talk about the situation, but just living your life the way that God designed for you to live your life. Imagine. And so we're going to consider what Jesus has to say. Now, before we get to his words of what he said, what Matthew wrote in Matthew chapter 6, I want to throw a couple disclaimers out here for you so you don't check out. First, Jesus, his answer to anxiety was not just stop it, okay? So if you think that the answer is always Jesus and the answer is I can't be anxious, no, Jesus goes way deeper than that. So stay with me as we work through this. If you're feeling anxious right now, Jesus is not looking at you saying, stop it, get better at this. No. He's providing practical things that we need to know. There's a truth we're going to discover today. The other thing that Jesus did not say in this is he did not say, if you follow me, you'll never be anxious again, okay? I want to throw that out there because maybe in this moment you're questioning, well, Pastor Keith, I feel anxious. In fact, you're making me feel anxious. Could you slow down a little bit, right? You're making me feel anxious. I feel anxious. Does that mean I don't know God? Does that mean that maybe you use the word I'm not a Christian? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We're gonna see that because Jesus talks to people who are experiencing anxiety and he told them, God is your father. When Jesus says God is your father to a group of people, he's talking to people who believe that Jesus is their savior. So when he says God is your father, we're gonna see him really paint that clear line, that clear picture for us today. But when Jesus says you know God as father, he's speaking to people who know God, they believe in Jesus, and yet there's anxiety. I say that so you don't disconnect and feel a little dirty, like, wow, I feel so anxious, I don't have it figured out. Let me let you in on something about the person next to you. They're anxious too, okay? Can we just say that? We all of us know what it feels like to be anxious about things. That does not exclude you from today. In fact, that is qualification for today. You recognizing I need Jesus, that's a good thing. So what does Jesus have to say about anxiety? He doesn't say, just stop. He doesn't say, if you follow me, you'll never be anxious again. He says something way better than that. So let's read what Matthew wrote. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start in verse 25. Hang with me. The first sentence is going to seem like I lied to you, but just stay with me. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Okay, if we stop there, then I lied. But let Jesus go on. What you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Okay, so the audience that Jesus is speaking to, their main concerns were things like food and clothing. Now, I don't know how many of you woke up this morning and said, what am I going to wear today? I'm very grateful that all of you decided to wear something. Clap for yourselves for that. We all made a good choice and said, today I put on clothes when I go to church. It's a good thing. And maybe you woke up and said, well, we don't have a lot of food, but I'm going to eat something, or I'm going to church because there's coffee and water. And so we don't resonate fully with what his audience resonated with, because there was no Old Navy and no H&M and all these glorious stores. Personally, I'm a fan of Walmart. I get all my shorts from Walmart because I typically stain them like I did yesterday already. New shorts, already gone. But they weren't wrestling through that. They had other issues, just like we have other issues. So for them, it's, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? For you today, how am I going to balance this job? How am I going to work with my family? How am I going to work with my debt, with my loans? We have our scenarios. But here's the across-the-board teaching Jesus starts off with. He reminds us that what you're facing today is not life. See, he says, he asks the question, isn't life more than that? Come on, isn't life more than your food and your clothing? Isn't life more than your relationships that are broken? I know it's not the way you want it to be, but Jesus says, isn't it more than that? And you know why he starts off with this? Because we lean into the exact opposite as our truth. I lean into the opposite. When I'm going through a situation that is giant, it's debt, it's relationship, it's brokenness, it's health, whatever it is. When I go through that, you know what life is? That's what it is. I love how real Jesus is when he communicates, because he's reminding us of something we know, but we forget it, especially when there is a big situation. Because when someone talks to you, you only talk about that thing. Or you say, I don't want to talk about that thing, because that's how we cope with it. And it's like life equals debt. Life equals the news. Life equals the report. Life equals my current situation. And Jesus, just before he gets into a truth, he reminds us of this great truth. Hold on. Life's more than that. He's reminding us of what we know, but it's what we forget. Life's more than what you're going through. Life's more than what you're hoping for. Life is more than what you're facing. And Jesus is going to remind us of what we need to know in order to keep that truth alive in our hearts. See, anxiety wells up in all of us, but there's two things that we can remember that when we want to lean into anxiety and we want to respond to the situation by getting anxious and nervous and worrisome, there are two things that Jesus is going to share with us. And it's who we are and who God is. See, anxiety thrives. It doesn't just come alive, but it just grows and grows and grows. And we get more and more anxious when we forget who we are and who God is. And today, I want us to remember, who am I? Who is God? Who am I? Who is God? Because when we forget these things, anxiety thrives. And so Jesus starts to tell us, first, who we are. And let me warn you. The first one, we amen hard to. The second one, we're like, I don't know. And the third one is like, I can't believe he just said that. Okay, so let's work through these. Look at what Jesus says, because he cares about us. He says first in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, my wife is afraid of birds. She doesn't like birds, okay? So she would hope that God wouldn't feed the birds, right? Is that true? Probably not. But we don't like birds, okay? But God says, when you look at the birds, I want you to remember that God is taking care of those birds, whether you like them or not. Jesus is starting to paint this picture for us. God is taking care of those things. They don't have bank accounts of 401ks, and they don't have barns that they bring their food to. But God's saying, I take care of those. And he's teaching us his truth. Then he moves into something I'm allergic to. We don't do good with what Jesus is saying here. Because he says about flowers. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon was a king that existed before Jesus. In all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So Jesus is bringing out, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. He's creating this image for his audience. Consider the birds. Consider how they are taken care of, and yet they don't have the plans that we have. Consider the flowers, how they come up, and they're beautiful, and they make you sneeze, and the water's green outside right now for some reason. It's just consider all of that, he would say. Consider it. And when you see it, and when you consider it, think. God's taking care of those things. God's going to take care of your things. He goes on, he says, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he asks this question, O you of little faith. So, the first thing that Jesus is reminding us of who we are, is that we are priceless. You have worth and value that goes far beyond what your situation has said about you. You have more worth than the birds. You have more worth than the flowers. But let's make this a little grander. You have more worth than your successes. You have more worth than your failures. You are not defined by your wins or your losses. God is not up there keeping score and saying, well, they had a good Sunday, so Monday I'm going to bless them because you have to earn my blessing. He's not saying that. That's what we're used to because that's how we navigate horizontal life. You do good, you perform well, you see the benefits of it. Jesus is reminding his audience, no, you are priceless to God. You have more worth and value than birds and flowers. And so every time when you walk out of here today and you see flowers and you see birds all week long, I want that to be triggers in your mind to remind you, hold on, who am I? I'm priceless. If no one told you today that God loves you, he does. He loves you. And he sees your value and your worth. And because he defines your value and worth, you can't change his mind about it. Okay, just accept it. He loves you. You can't change the way he feels about you. You can't get him to love you more, and you're not going to get him to love you less. And although that's how it works in your marriage and with your children and with your boss and with strangers and with family, whoever it is in your life, God looks at you and says, you are priceless. And you consider the birds if you start to doubt that. And you look at a flower if you start to doubt that. You're priceless. And so when you start to feel anxious about a situation, hold on a second. I'm priceless. God knows me. God made me. God loves me. Because that starts to move you closer to what Jesus is teaching. Okay, I'm priceless. Now, I want to touch on that last question Jesus asked because it seems like an excluding one. He says, you have little faith. How do you doubt? When Jesus asks that, he is not saying you have no faith. Okay, the words he's using is strategic, and he's saying there is a deficiency of faith in your heart. That's important, because if right now you're saying, well, I have anxiety, I must not believe in God. No, that's not true. But God is asking, I think there's a deficiency in your heart of faith. There's a deficiency. Now, what's cool about deficiencies is we can fix those. We can do something. You remember when Sonny D tried to convince us we were all vitamin D deficient? Come on. In school, I love buying Sunny D. It was basically sugar water. And it was told that if you drink this, you get more vitamin D. Right? You had the orangutan come up with the Tang and just put some Tang in your cup and kick it. And come on, you know those things. And it was, you have a deficiency. Let's put some juice in there. Jesus is pointing out to us, come on, you got a faith deficiency. You believe. One person said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help the parts of me where I don't fully lean into you because I get anxious and I lean that direction. Now, here's what's cool. We look at faith and we look at spiritual things, and somehow we tend to over-spiritualize what we need to do. And it's practical. What you're doing right now is a way to increase the faith deficiency in your life. That's why we gather as a community every week, because you could be home and you could do things. We'll talk about that. But there's something about coming into a space with other people who are all of us jacked up, all of us anxious, all of us with our situations, and we come into this space and we sing songs that remind us of God's love. And we read the same message that reminds us of God's love. And we connect with people that reminds us of God's love. And in those moments, your faith deficiency is being dealt with. And when you go home and get in your car, there's incredible music to listen to. There are podcasts to listen to. We live in a very Jesus-accessible culture right now. It's really cool. And so you can do that. And you can take a Bible and you could read the words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, men who followed Jesus and wrote down what they saw, and your faith deficiency starts to get dealt with. It's very practical. So let's pause for a second. Just ask yourself, when you consider the situations, because we all got them, come up in your heart, if you lean into the anxiety and the worry and the fear, and it drives you to isolate, what if you called that out and said, hold on a second, I'm priceless. That bird doesn't have as much value as me. That flower definitely doesn't have as much value as me. It's ruining my nose. Right? Whatever that looks like for you, and you say, I'm going to do something practical. I'm going to connect with someone. I'm going to read a psalm. Psalms are words written by David, who just kind of put his heart out there for us to read. I'm going to be encouraged. That faith deficiency is going to be dealt with. And so Jesus says, first, you're priceless. Now, this is good. This will preach. And then he starts getting into something we're like, all right, pump the brakes, Jesus. You're kind of stepping on my toes now. Because he says in verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? This completely comes against what I want to believe about Keith. I want to believe that Keith is in control of his life and in control of his situations, that there is nothing that can come against me that I'm not capable of overcoming. I want to believe that I have it all figured out, and I'm going to take care of me and my family and people around me, and I can do this. And Jesus so lovingly looks at Keith and says, oh, Keith, all of your anxiety, all of your worrying, you can't even add a minute to your life. You can worry about it. You could play out the scenario where you're always the victor and the winner in the situation. But the reality is, because Jesus is very real, he says, your anxiety can't add anything to the situation. It feels good to think about it. It kind of feeds that weird part of us that likes to dwell on it. But Jesus says, you're not making an impact. Why? Because Jesus says, you're powerless. Your anxiety can't fix it. You can be anxious. That's cute. But you can't fix it. You actually are powerless in this moment. And he's calling out that part of us that says, but I'm in control. But sure, I can figure this out. Now listen, we're pushing against each other in your head right now. There are some things that you can figure out. I agree. There are some things I can take care of. On paper, I can get to the equation that I need. But I also know there are some things I cannot figure out. I can try as hard as I want. I can talk to as many people as are available to me. And yet Jesus says, yes, that's why your anxiety can't actually impact the situation. It can't add a span to it. And then he goes on to say probably the most offensive thing. He says, therefore, in light of everything I just told you, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. I love when Jesus says riddly kind of things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me throw a quick disclaimer out here before we talk. If you're planning for tomorrow, that's not a bad thing. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow is wasted time. You could tweet that. Okay, planning for tomorrow, that's a good thing. Plan for tomorrow. Use your iCal. Come on, don't just wake up tomorrow and say, God, what do you want? I'm going to wait for you to speak. If you have a job, God has spoken. Go to work. Okay, that is what it is. You know that. So we plan for tomorrow. But Jesus is driving home this truth. If you're worried about tomorrow, if you're anxious over tomorrow, and fill in tomorrow with whatever day or situation it is, maybe it's a month from now, a year from now, a decade from now. If you're worried about that, if it is keeping you up at night, if it is revealing there's a deficiency of faith in you, Jesus is saying, just let it take care of itself. Because the reality is, don't get offended, this is Jesus. The reality is you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow because you're clueless. I'm clueless. We can plan as much as we want, and we can think as much as we want, and we can make sure every I is dotted, every T crossed. We've got everything lined up the way it's supposed to go. And you know and I know that we are actually clueless when it comes to what's going to happen tomorrow. It doesn't mean we don't plan, but it means we don't become anxious over it. And so Jesus is driving home these truths about who we are. Hey, you think you have no worth or value? No, you're priceless. Hey, you think all your worrying can do something? No, you're actually powerless. And I know you want to think you've got Monday figured out, but the truth is you're clueless when it comes to Monday. Just let Monday take care of Monday. So he's reminding us of who we are because he's setting us up to remember who God is. You've got to understand who you are for you to fully understand who God is. You know why we need these words to remind us? Because if we don't see our limits, we won't see the limitlessness of God. If we don't see how limited we are and how finite we are, we won't look to a God who is infinite and way beyond our abilities and human resources. Every one of these words points us to God the Father. And Jesus brings out this beautiful parallel between those who know God as Father and those who know God as Creator. See, here's something we believe in this space. We believe that every single person in this world is an image bearer of God. Even your annoying neighbor. I know you don't want to believe that, but they are. They were made by God to be in the image of God. Unfortunately, because we choose our own way of living, God calls that sin, we mar up and dirty up the image of God. And that's why for some of us, like, man, you don't look like a thing like God, but that person looks like a saint. Right? We work through life that way. But that doesn't take away from this truth that God made every person and God loves every person. And your status and your skin color and whatever you've accomplished doesn't take away from that. You are made by God and loved by God. We believe that. Now, what Jesus shows us every time he gets up to communicate, as he speaks to a both-end audience, meaning there are people listening that believe in him as Savior and people who are skeptical and who are seeking and who are figuring it out. Jesus continues to draw this beautiful line of saying, you believe in God, but there are some who believe in God as Father. Meaning there are some that look to Jesus as the Son and the Savior of their lives. And it brings us into this beautiful relationship of knowing God as Father. And he draws that in what he says here. He says, these things, all these things you worry about, food, clothing, debt, relationship, these things dominate the minds, the thoughts, the concerns, the heart of those who don't believe, those who don't believe in God as Father. And here it is. But your Heavenly Father already knows what you need because he's your Father. Here is the invitation for you. If in this moment you've never considered God as Father, he is Creator, he's the one who exists maybe somewhere, you have opportunity to know him as Father because what Jesus did for all, to bring all who would believe in Jesus into a relationship with God now as Father. And Jesus says, here's the beauty, here's the promise you have. You know him as Father. He knows what you need. Come on, stop Googling and WebMDing everything. Go on, WebMD, I sneezed. I guess I'm dying. That's what WebMD said. I mean, let's take him out of business. Some of you, you're keeping Google alive right now. But think about it. These thoughts, these patterns, this way of living, that's good. But you know God as Father. And today, if you don't, you are invited to know God as Father. We're going to remember what Jesus did in a few minutes through communion, which reminds us you can trust God because God was willing to sacrifice his Son for you so that you might know him as Father. And so what do? Well, instead of being anxious over the situations, because you've got them and I've got them, whether you believe in God as Father or not, whether you'd say I'm a Christian or I'm not, whatever your language is, you've got situations, I've got them. But what do we do in those moments? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, when that mountain comes up, whatever that mountain is, it's debt, it's relationship, it's health, whatever it is, when you see that mountain, you seek God first. You seek your Father first. You look for his way of living, his righteousness, and here's the promise. And all these things you're worried about, they'll be added to you. Now, what this is not God saying, I'm going to throw so many zeros at the end of the numbers in your bank account right now. You just keep seeking me, and you might be stuck with the one zero, okay? That's just whatever it is. But this is not God saying, I'm going to multiply, I'm going to bless. No, it's better than that. It's that in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of the valley, it's when you're facing situations that should be screaming, you be anxious, you be worried, you be nervous, you keep being dominated by fear and by these thoughts. In those moments, as a child of God, you have freedom and opportunity to seek God, to say, no, I'm going to seek him first, and I'm going to let him take care of the rest. And it's not us throwing our pens and papers behind us saying, I'm not going to plan. No, it's not that. It's this beautiful trust that we have in the Father to know that he has got our lives in his control. And so we replace anxiety with adoration, which leads to addition. You feel that anxiety start to well up in your heart and say, hold on a second, I need a bird right now. Some of you are going to go purchase birds when you leave. That's your takeaway. So I'm putting a bird in there. It's not us. I'm going to put that bird in the house. We'll get a flower. I'm going to get that in there, and I'm going to remember when I get anxiety coming up. No. I'm going to adore the Father who loves me so much that he sent Jesus to this world for me. I'm going to look to him, and I'm going to let him add whatever that addition looks like. For me, I pray that addition is subtraction. Take away the situations that I'm facing that are making, but maybe it might be multiplication. Don't really want that. Don't make it any harder. But God's going to do something because he's your Father and because he loves you. Today's message was called Careless in the Care of God. And I want you to think through that. It's not careless as in I don't have any concern. And again, we just throw chance out there and just live by whatever happens and let the dice fall where they may. No. But it's actually being in a state of mind where we have peace in our hearts where anxiety once lived. Where if you look back a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, in your own story, a day ago, you said, wow, when I got that news, I would have responded way differently. But today, because of the Father's care, I prayed, or I texted someone, or I just put it on the shelf for a moment before I dived right into it. That's the changes that we see in our life when we know God as Father. God has a plan for your life, and He loves you. There's this song by Bob Marley that I enjoy called Three Little Birds. And we could all sing it right now, right? Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right, right? We know that. And I love that song, and it's got a good beat to it, and I'll probably listen to it on the way home. But here's the problem with that song. It's not true. It sounds good. It sings well. It just doesn't preach well. Every little thing is not going to be all right. You know that if you've seen a situation turn out very, very, very not all right. But don't confuse those words with the words of Jesus. Jesus didn't at any point in this message promise that you follow me and every little thing is going to be all right. In fact, a lot of times He warned people, you follow me, it might get a little weirder for you, it might get a little harder for you. Horizontally, it may not look right. But what He does promise is as you face those things, the Father knows. That's a promise I'll take. When you get in your car, when Monday comes, if it does, you know that the Father's there. Your situation's still there. You could pray for the subtraction. You could hope it's not multiplication. But you know the Father is adding everything you need in your life. You know Him as Father. These things dominate the minds of those who don't know Him as Father. Now let me take two rabbit trails for a minute. The first is this. I spoke to an issue today that is very, very, very alive and real in 2018. And I'm so grateful for those who understand this as a mental health issue. And can I throw a disclaimer so you don't sue me? I'm not a doctor. I'm not a counselor. I'm a guy, okay? I'm just a guy. They gave me the mic when I walked in. It's my first time here. But I want you to understand that if right now you have anxiety and you're working with a counselor, you're working with a doctor, please do not feel like you are less than. Do not think that you using medication or sessions or whatever it looks like for you somehow takes away from your ability to trust in God. I believe that's God's gift to humanity. I do. This is a little personal thing. I'm grateful that we don't have to cast the demon out of you in 2018. Because a couple decades ago, that's exactly what we would have done. We would have just thrown you out the door with your anxiety and say, well, you need Jesus. No, you come to Jesus as you are. And thank God that we live in a culture. I've got pastor friends who are also, they got their master's in counseling because they're meeting both end. And so know, I want you to know that today. You are not excluded. And don't you dare go home and throw out medicine. Please do not do that. You are invited to know the Father. And however the Father is going to add these things to you, He's going to do it. He loves you. The second is this. If you feel anxious, you are not excluded from knowing Him as Father. Do not let the enemy convince you that because you woke up with anxiety that you can't know God. Do not believe that lie. Do not think that tomorrow you heard today's message and you're anxious. Oh, I guess it didn't matter. He's going to tell you it didn't matter. The enemy's going to tell you, see, you have no worth. See, you have no value. You get anxious. Oh, you of little faith. And He's going to condemn you. No. In that moment, you remember, no, this is just a faith deficiency. And my Father knows me. Find me a bird. Get me a bird right now. Whatever it takes for you. Because you've got to know you got a Father who loves you. And you are not disqualified from knowing Him. He loves you. And I'm thankful that we get to know God as Father. And I'm thankful that maybe on Wednesday, you're going to look back and say, wow, on Monday, I would have responded different, but Wednesday is different. And maybe it's next week or next month. This is a journey you're on. We are on a journey together. But you're going to look back and say, wow, you remember how anxious I used to get? The situation's still there. The mountain hasn't moved yet, but I am not responding with anxiety. I'm trusting my Father. And however He wants to add, He's going to add. That is a free way for you to live. That's the life that Jesus has for us.